deceiver. Amen. So let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. We have a good, good Father. And He's a loving Father. Cares for us. 1 Peter 1, verse 23, 24, and 25. And this right here, if you want to, you know, just I'm using this to kind of start off here, talking about the power of the seed. But this particular message is God is at work in you. You know, when we look at the Word of God and we look at this particular scripture, we can see right here where God comes and takes up residence in us. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. So he's saying we're born again by an incorruptible seed. What? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of men as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So you can see here, even in verse 24, it says, for all grass, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of men is the flower of grass. He's talking about really our humanity. In other words, you were born, you reached, you know, you grew, you reached a certain peak in your life, and you start withering, right? It says the outward man does what? Perisheth. But the inward man, 2 Corinthians 4:16, says the outward man perisheth, but the inward man is what? Being renewed day by day. So this outward man is getting older. Day by day, second by second, right? Getting older. And at some point, if Jesus tarries and we're not caught up in the air, we're all going to go the way of death. Leave this body and be present with the Lord. That's what this is talking about. But thank God, we're born again. The real man, what is it in Genesis, we're made in the image, Genesis 1:27, we're made in the image and likeness of God. What is God? John 4:24, God is a spirit. They that worship him worship him in spirit and in truth. So if God is a spirit, that means I am a spirit. The real me is a spirit. And Hebrews 4:12 talks about the word of God being what? Sharper than any two-edged sword, being able to divide between soul and spirit, or spirit and soul, and joint and marrow. So that must mean, even if you look up in just medical books, joint and marrow are close to one another, aren't they? I mean, they almost touch. They do, in some cases, touch. So it almost makes you think, you know, people say, well, you know, my soul is my mind, my brain. No, honey. Your brain is an organ like your heart and your pancreas and your liver and kidneys. Your brain is an organ. So if your brain went with you when you died, I don't think so. It decays in the ground. So your brain is not your soul. Now, it doesn't say where your soul is, but if the word of God, it's got to be close to where your spirit is. But the word of God doesn't say where it is. But it's the word. But it says the word of God is able to separate between soul and spirit, and able to discern the thoughts and intents of our heart, right? So let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we've been looking at different types of ground. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, this is just the process when we talk about planting. And it says, and starting in verse 6, it says, I have planted, Apollos watered, and I have planted, that's Paul. Paul is saying, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So you can see the process. Even in natural life, you have to plant a seed, then you have to put, well, first you got to put it in good ground. You got to plant a seed, you got to water it. And this says here, God gave the increase. He's talking about something spiritual here. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gave the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, and it says, so we don't talk like this anymore, ye are God's husbandry, you are God's, or ye are God's building. Husbandry is just another word. It's an old English word that means a farm or a garden, which is actually brought out in the New Living Translation, which is a more modern translation. It says, you are God's field, you are God's building. That's what that means. And I like the Moffat translation. It says, you are God's field to be planted, you God's house to be built. So this spirit of ours is a garden. It's a field, and it's designed by God. What? We became born again by what? The seed, the word of God. We became born again so that this spirit could do what? Take in the word of God. What is the word? What does the Bible say? It says we're not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So this spirit is designed to take the seed of God's word, the word of God. It's designed to take that so that we can do what? Grow to become like him. And that's why Brother Hagin said when he was alive, the reason people are not as successful in their faith life or faith walk, what does the scripture say? We're to walk by faith and not by sight. He said the reason they're not as successful is because they reject the watering process or the repetition process. I'm sharing these over and over again because it's just wise to hear from someone like that that's had experience and seen firsthand that he knew from just interacting with people over years, why is this person successful and this person over here not as successful? And he would see that in lives. And the ones that were successful were the ones that took the time to not only get the word planted, but watered and watered and watered in their life, and God gave the increase. Now, let's turn over to Isaiah 55, because I think this is good. You know, I made a statement a couple of weeks ago, Isaiah 55, and let's look at verse 8. Isaiah 55, verse 8. And I had made a statement that words, when we look at the Word of God incorporates or encapsulates God's thoughts. See? Now this scripture here bears that out. That when I said, your words, just in the natural, your words let me know what you're thinking. See, I don't know what you know, we all say, thank God, I don't know what you're thinking. Thank God, I don't know what you're thinking. But if I'm around you long enough, you may start telling me what you think by how you talk, by your words. See? Now look at Isaiah 55 and verse 8. It says what? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, thank God. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So now he's talking about what? His thoughts. He's not talking about his words. He's talking about his thoughts. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So I always like to say this, if you think of something, I don't care how you think, well, that's a great thought. His thoughts are higher than that. His ways are higher than that. See, because we're limited. So continue, he says in verse 10, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but does what? Watereth the earth. He's talking about rain coming down, watering the earth, maketh it to what? Bring forth and bud. He's talking about rain now. That it will what? Give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now he shifts. Now what does it say? So shall my what? My word be that goeth forth what? Out of my mouth. Now he's talking about his words that go out of his mouth. What are his words? His thoughts. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it, what? My words shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So now we can see here, just the same way, you know, when we take time to say, decree a thing, your words from the heart spoken in faith will change things, will cause things to happen. Just like God said here, my words won't return to me void, but shall accomplish something. It says it'll cause it to prosper, and that's what he got done talking about verse 9 and 10. So when we look at God's thoughts, we know what his thoughts are because he expressed it in words that were penned in this. So just like when we read the lyrics of that song, Good, Good Father, it says so many people have said things of what you're like, see, but I know you're a good, good father, see. So we people have all kinds of ideas in the world of what God's like. You don't need to debate that. Go over to the Word of God and show them what God is like. That's what Jesus did during his ministry. He said, when the disciples said, show us the Father, and he said, have I been with you so long that you don't know who the Father is? He said, if you see me, you've seen him. And so that's why it's important. And and as we are going on in this subject matter, the more of God's word we get into us, we become what? Like him. We become like him. We become like the Father. Isn't that true? We become love. The love of God and the Word of God are one. God is love and the Word is God. So if I get enough of God's Word in me, sickness can't stay in my body. If I get enough of God's Word in me, that ornery nature that we have can't stay. It can't stay anymore. We'll become, people say, you're getting soft. No, I'm becoming like my Father. That means he's what? If you want to know what God is like, look at 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, love is slow to anger. All of these attributes are of the Father. We become more like that. Amen. That's how we become a good, good father and a good, good mother. So you can see here, and I'll give you another scripture. Proverbs 3:3, it says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." How do you write something on the table of your heart? Well, let me give you something to think about. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How did you get born again? You had to believe in your heart, and you had to do what? Say something. You had to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And at verse 10, it says, "For the heart man believeth," and it says, "unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So those two principles are key. With the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made. That's how you write something on the table of your heart. You have to believe it. You have to believe that in your heart, and you confess that with your mouth. You know, that principle works whether it's life or death. You can believe something. That's why I keep saying, watch what you read, watch what you look at, watch what you listen to, watch what you're entertaining with your ear gates and your eye gates, because somebody wrote some music, wrote some lyrics to a song, wrote some play that we look at on TV or on a big screen, and those words that are spoken are somebody's thoughts. And so if you begin to watch enough of that, see, a lot of times, why doesn't something affect you? You know, just think about this a moment. You see, some things affect one person differently than another person. So one person could have what? Entertained that, let that what? Into their heart, and they said, I believe that. And what did they do? They allowed a seed to be planted. And if they keep watering it, it'll bring forth a harvest of what they let in, whatever that seed was. But another person could listen to that or see that, and it repulses them. And what did they do? They rejected the seed. They rejected it. And they said, forget that. And it didn't affect them. Even though they saw it, even though they heard it, they rejected it. That's exactly what happened when we read the parable of the sower. It says, some seed was sown by the wayside, and it was trodden down. That means it was rejected. You see? Well, that can be on the bad side. Somebody could have said, I don't receive that. That's ridiculous. And reject it. And it never affected them. And somebody could sit there and entertain it. That's why we see you can't see fear, but you can see the effects of fear. You can't see love, but you can see the effects of love. And so what has happened? That means that somebody has entertained fear. Could be hatred. Somebody could, you can't see hate, but boy, you can sure see the effects of it through somebody's actions. You see. And this is all we're talking about, that this principle is a principle in the kingdom of God. Sowing and reaping. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. And the devil knows it. And that's why he tries his very best to get us to entertain things that are not godly. Because he knows the principle of seed time and harvest. He knows that if you plant something negative and you keep watering it, it'll produce a harvest. Same way that if we entertain God's word and we allow it to get in our hearts and we keep watering it, we'll become more like him. See, we'll become more like God. We'll be more, or you'd say, we'll be God-like. See, in our ways. See. So that's why, you know, think it not strange, you know, that's why when the Lord may speak to you and say, don't read that. Don't say, oh, well, that's not that bad. He knows your enemy better than you do.
Yes.
And he knows that if the Lord tells you, don't read that, don't watch that, don't listen to it, don't do it.
Right.
Don't do it.
Amen.
Don't do it. So let's turn over to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And just covering this ground again, because it's actually good. The more I meditate on this, the more we should see where we need to make adjustments in our own life. And that's part of this. We can begin to see, you know, where am I with the seed that's been sown in my heart? Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 4. And it says in the King James, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. The New Living says stepped on. And that word trodden down, if you know, anybody look it up in a concordance, you know, those things are online. You can look them up, a Greek concordance. It just means to be trampled down. It means to reject with disdain. That's what trodden down actually means. It means to reject with disdain. And that means, you know, the word disdain just means to something that's regarded as inferior, or you snub it. You know, you have disrespect for it. You look down on it. So that's why when this continues, it was trodden down and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell, now he's speaking in a parable right now. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. So the wayside was trodden down, and then the rocky soil, it says it sprang up quickly, and it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And of course, after that, the disciples said, what does this parable mean? And he begins to share what that means. Or you could say in the natural, he began to unpack this for him. He began to make it plain for him. In verse 11, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. So now what is he talking about? He's talking about a sower sowing the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And they on a rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, I'm just going to take a moment here, if you bear with me. I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation, which is a more modern translation, but it's even a little more clear. Here then is the deeper, this is a Passion Translation from Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 11. It says, here then is the deeper meaning to my parable. The word of God is the seed that is sown into hearts. The hard pathway represents the hard hearts of men who hear the word of God, but the slanderer, that's the devil, quickly snatches away what was sown in their hearts to keep them from believing and experiencing salvation. Well, why was he able to take that? Because it was trodden down. It was trampled on. It was rejected. See? And it says, verse 13, the seed falling on the gravel represents those who initially respond to the word with joy, but soon afterward, when a season of harassment of the enemy and difficulty come to them, they wither and fall away, for they have no root in the truth, and their faith is temporary. So people will receive the word with joy, and then a period or a season of harassment, stuff going on in their life, and they wither away because their faith hasn't taken enough root. It hasn't been. They've received the word of faith. They said, yes, bless God, I received this. But then it's not been watered enough. It hasn't taken root. So there's a season of harassment. That's exactly, Brother Hagin used to say this. He said, it's easier to squash an acorn than it is a full-grown oak tree. Because it's taken root. And it can sustain the winds and trials of life. So that's why it's important when you see somebody struggling, help them. Because maybe their faith hasn't taken root yet, you see. Help them. The seed that falls into the weeds represents the hearts of those who hear the word of God, but their growth is quickly choked off by their own anxious cares, the riches of this world, and the fleeting pleasures of this life. This is why they never become mature and fruitful. The seed that fell into good, fertile soil represents those lovers of truth who hear it deep within their hearts. They respond by clinging to the word, keeping it dear as they endure all things in faith. This is the seed that will one day bear much fruit in their lives. Now listen to in verse 15. So the question is, and we're back to this again, what is good ground? What makes good ground good ground? What makes it good ground? And so you can see here in this verse 15, it says, but that on the good ground are they. So now it's making a reference that good ground are they. So that means this is hearts. Are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. So they're not just hearing it, they're acting upon it. They're keeping it. And bring forth fruit with patience. So listen to some modern translations here. It says, the seed that fell, this is the Common English Bible. The seed that fell on good soil are those who hear the word and commit themselves to it with a good and upright heart through their resolve. R-E-S-O-L-V-E, resolve. That means sticking with something. Patience, enduring something. It says, through their resolve, they bear fruit. The Complete Jewish Bible says, but what fell in rich soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the message, hold on to it with a good receptive heart, and by persevering, they bring forth a harvest. The New Century Version, it says, and the seed that fell on the good ground is like those who hear God's teaching with good, honest hearts and obey it and patiently produce good fruit. Now, these two translations are really good here. God's Word translation. It said, the seeds that were planted on good ground. He's talking about our hearts now. Are people who also hear the word, but they keep it in their good and honest hearts and produce what is good despite what life may bring. Despite what life throws at you, they keep the word of God in their hearts and they obey it. Now listen to the Message translation. It says, but the seed in the good earth, these are the good hearts who sees the word and hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. Boy, that just says a lot to me. Sticking with the word of God until there's a harvest. That means I don't care what you're walking through. God said in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. He said, as the rain cometh down and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth. What did he say? He said, it'll produce. Yes. And he said, so are my words that goeth forth out of my mouth. They'll not return unto me void, but accomplish in that which I send it to, or where it's received. So God's word will produce if we don't allow the seed in our hearts that's taken root to get tore up. How does it get torn up? Through what we think, what we say. When we start saying, it's been 5 months, it's been a year, it's been 5 years, I ain't seen nothing yet, this ain't working, how come this ain't working? Well, the devil's getting you to question the word of God, the validity of the word of God, that it'll produce a harvest, and you've got to just do what the word of God says. Good ground is what? Good ground is the seed in a good heart, a good and honest heart, that, like the Message says, who sees the word and hold on to it no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. You do what? You keep watering it. You keep watering it. You keep watering it. You keep watering it until you produce a harvest. No farmer goes out in the field, plants the seed. First of all, think about it. No farmer would go out and scatter seed or plant seed without doing what? Preparing the soil. We see that all the time. These big plows out there doing what? Cutting open the field so that it can do what? Receive the seed. And then after it's done, I mean, some big places I've gone through Delaware, they've got these big sprinklers that go around and big circles and all that. We see that, right? Some places have things where they water. Most places don't. They just let nature do what nature does, right? Sunshine, a little water, all of that, a little sun, and you have a harvest. But no farmer just goes, I don't know, we don't see nothing, so let's get the plow out and dig it all up. That's foolish. And no farmer would do that because they do what? They expect a harvest. They expect that the seed that I put in the ground is going to produce. And that's no different for us. I expect the seed, the word of God, to produce. If I get enough of God's word in me, sickness can't stay here. If I get enough of God's word in me, lack can't stay in my life, because God is going to show me what to do and how to make money. He's going to do what? Prosper me. He's going to show me how. And you've got to do what? Believe that the word of God will produce. And that's what we have to do. Stick with it. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. And look at verse 2, because this is key here. So you've got to accept the word of God. This is what got the Israelites in a trouble here. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. I'm going to read from a few translations here, but the King James Version says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Who was them? Them that were wandering around in the desert. It says, it was preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with what? Faith in them that heard it. So you've got to take the word, take what's a goodest and honest heart, to hearing the word, taking it in into my heart, watering it, and obeying it. That means faith, and I'll show you another scripture in James 2, but it didn't profit them not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The New Century Version says, the good news was preached to us just as it was to them, but the teaching they heard did not help them because they heard it but did not accept it with faith. The Message translation, we received the same promises as those people in the wilderness, but the promises didn't do them a bit of good because they didn't receive the promises with faith. The Good News translation, for we heard the good news just as they did. They heard the message, but it did them no good because when they heard it, they did not accept it with faith. God says, my ways are not your ways. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My word will not return unto you void. So you've got to receive the word of God into a good and honest heart. Keep it. Hold on to it till the harvest is produced. Amen. Glory to God. So when we talk about it didn't benefit them because they didn't receive it in faith. Now, turn over to James chapter 2 and look at verse 17. Let me get there, verse 17 and verse 26. The whole chapter, I just want to look at those two scriptures, but look at verse 17. And actually, you could go down from starting in 17. But when we talk about faith and we say, well, I believe. And look what James writes. He said, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is what? Morte, dead. Being what? Alone. If you look up that word works, it's in the translation of that Greek word, the word works, it says by implication, an action. Or you could say a corresponding action. And even down, it says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works, or an action, a corresponding action. And jump down to verse 26. It says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works, or a corresponding action, an action, is dead. So here's what he was saying. They preached the word, it wasn't received, it didn't do them any good because they didn't mix faith with the word of God. They didn't mix any faith with it, and so it didn't benefit them. Whatever they were shared the gospel. So that's the point in saying, if God shows us something in our life that we need to change, and he shows us in something in the word of God, you know, it won't benefit you if you're saying, I want to be a man or woman of God. I want to be more like God. He may say, okay, I'll take you up on your word. Here you go. This and this you need to fix. This and this you need to change. Or he may not even speak to you. He may reveal something in the word of God as you're reading it and you go, ooh, I'm not doing that. Well, he just revealed that to you. And you could say, I'll never be able to do that. Well, then you're rejecting it because he wouldn't ask you to do something if it wasn't possible to do. See? It is possible to do. It is possible to become more like him. Hallelujah. Now let's look at a couple of more scriptures here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, talking about receiving the word of God and not mixing faith with it not being something that's effective in your life. But look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13. In the King James, it says, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Verse 13, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing. Why? Because when you did what? You received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which what? Effectually worketh also in you that what? Believe. But they had to receive the word of God. They had to receive it, not as the word of men, but as it is the word of truth, the truth of God, which effectually worketh in you. Now, that word effectually worketh, that Greek word is energeo. That means energy. That's where we get the word energy from. What it actually means is to be mighty in. The word of God is effectually working. It's mighty in us that do what? Believe. Yes. So I believe the word of God, and it's working in me. You may not see it initially, but God, that's how we started working. When we went this, the first scripture, we said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, the word of God. We got born again, what? Because we believed. We believed it and said something. We said that Jesus is Lord. He was raised from the dead. So that did what? Cause the power of God to what? Recreate my spirit. And I received it in a good and honest heart. And it caused something to change. It did what? It says here, it's effectually at work in me. That means to be active is another word. So now go over to Philippians chapter 2 and look at verse 13. This is the same word, worketh, energeo. It's the same exact Greek word, same meaning. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. See, this is talking about me accepting the word of God. That's what it says in 1 Thessalonians. It says it's effectually at work in us that what? Believe. But look at 1 Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, for it is God which worketh. Say worketh. Worketh. That's the same word when we said effectually worketh in us that believe. That word effectually worketh, energeo. It's the same exact Greek word. Means the same thing. For it is God which worketh in you both to do what? To will and to do his good pleasure. So when we talk about this, you say, well, I'd like to be a better person. Do you think that's God's will and pleasure? Yes, I do. If you want to be a better dad, a better father, better grandfather, better mother, better wife, do you think that's God's will and pleasure? Yes. It says here, it is God which is what? Working in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do you think God wants you to be whole and prosperous? And healthy. Yes. So anybody who says, well, I'm not sure it's God's will, you need to take them to this scripture right here and say, I believe God's word, and I believe God is working in me to will and to do his good pleasure in me. And if you don't mix faith with that, it won't work with you. It won't work in you. Listen this is the New Living Translation. It says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Glory. Oh, glory. That's a whole different thing. He's giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. See? Now, what pleases him, yeah, there's a certain baseline for all of us. But each, what does the scripture say? It says we are his workmanship created to do what he has planned for each one of us. So he's got something for each one of us, and he's going to give you the power to do that. The Weymouth translation. For it is God himself whose power creates within you the desire to do his gracious will and also brings about the accomplishment of the desire. The Amplified, it says, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Now this one, the Passion Translation, I just like the way, that's why I read different translations, because something will just stand out. This is the Passion Translation. It says, God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. Oh, he's implanting in me the pleasure, the power to do what pleases him. He's implanting. What's he implanting? The seed, the word of God. And here's the thing. The devil knows this. He knows that if you get enough of God's word, that word is him. It's what does it say in Romans 1:16? It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. In the word of God, it says in 2 Peter, all these great and precious promises that give us everything that's needed according to what? Life and godliness. So everything we need is infused with God's nature in what? The word of God. And the more of God's word that we get, the more we spend time with him, we become more like him. And the devil knows this. He wants us to spend more time feeding on the garbage that he pushes out. And we just need to watch that. And we need to watch it. And spend more time with him so that we become more empowered. That's what this is saying. God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. So God can be no bigger in you than what you confess him to be. God can be no bigger in you than what you confess him to be. Now let's look at one last scripture here. Philemon chapter 1. There's only one chapter. But Philemon 1:6. It's the same word again. That's why I'm just pointing this out. Philemon chapter 1 and verse 6. It says that the communication of thy faith may become what? Effectual. I'll wait a moment so you all get there. You may look at this in different translations. But the King James uses the word effectual. It says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. That word effectual is energeo again. It's energized. Hallelujah. It's activated is another word. So how does your faith become energized and activated? It says by the communication of your faith. By what? The speaking of your faith. That God is in me doing something. His word is in me. His word is healing me. His word is prospering me. When I communicate that, when I utter, what do we say? With the heart man believeth, Romans 10:10, with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is the same thing here, what we're saying. You've got to believe it in your heart and speak it. That word salvation in the Greek means sozo. It means, that's the Greek word. It means deliverance. It means healing. It means salvation. It means preservation. How does that happen in my life? I've got to believe it. I got to mix faith with it. And then I'm going to speak it. I'm going to say, God is doing something in my life. He's prospering me. He's healing me. He's renewing my mind. He's energizing me to will and to do what gives him pleasure. That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. See? And this is what this is saying, that the communication of thy faith may become energized or activated by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. This these two translations I like. This is the Living Bible. It says, and I pray that as you share your faith with others, it will grip their lives too, as they see the wealth of good things in you that come from Christ Jesus. See, that's exactly what happens, that when people begin to see the blessings in your life, the peace, the joy, the prosperity, the health. Think about, now go over in John. I'm not going to have you go there, but John, in the Gospel of John, it says that when Jesus came into a certain city, he came in with Lazarus, and it said they all wanted to come to see not only Jesus, but they said they came to see that man that was raised from the dead. They came to see Lazarus. Oh, yeah. People will come. People want to come and see all the good things that's happened in your life. Why is it that you're so blessed? And you begin to tell people why. You share the gospel. So Philemon 1:6 could read like this, that the communication of your faith may become energized and activated. How is that activated? By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. The word acknowledging. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just another scripture. We'll close with this. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. Yes. See, remember I was talking about this, things that you get enough of something that you keep listening to. That's why when it says in Proverbs 4:20, it says, my son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health unto all their flesh. Yes. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. So when you look at that, that's why God's saying, make time for my word. Keep it in your ears. Keep it in front of you. And so when you look at that, when you get enough of something, you keep looking at something and you keep hearing it, good or bad, you're going to begin to do what? Believe it. You ever hear the saying, that person told that lie long enough, they believe the lie? Is that not a true statement? Somebody told that fib so long, they believe the lie. Well, the principle is, they kept saying it and they began to believe it. And so we need to just be conscious of the fact God's word is the seed. And that word also, turn over to 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to close with this. 1 John chapter 3. And look at verse 9. 1 John chapter 3. And verse 9. And I'll read it from the King James. I'll wait a moment till you get there. It says, whosoever is what? Born of God doth not what? Commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now, let me read this from the New Living Translation. It says, those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So when the King James says that the seed remaineth in him and he cannot sin, it doesn't say that they would never sin. It just says what it really means is you can't continue to do something and miss it because it's like, ugh, I can't do that. You missed something. You said something. You did something. You feel horrible about it. Why? Because his seed remaineth in you. His life is in you. And you cannot continue or make a practice of doing that. It's not possible. And so that word seed, the Greek word there for that, when it says his seed remaineth in him, that Greek word is sperma. And that it means exactly what it means. It's from where we get the word sperm. So we've allowed the seed of God to come into us. And just like any sperm, when it's taken from a man and put into a woman, when there's when the seed fertilizes the egg, that DNA is in both the seed and the egg. That's what you have. You have that very character and nature that's passed down from father to child. And so the same thing, when we look at God's word, his very character, his nature is in the word of God. So when we talk about love, we talk about joy, we talk about peace, it's in the word of God. And if we take that in, and we water it, and we keep nurturing it, and act upon it, we will produce a harvest. Hallelujah. We will become like him. Now, you know, with all of this, you know, growing, planting, growing, and waiting for a harvest is not glamorous, is it? You know, just wait and wait and wait. And that's why it says, with patience, you'll produce a harvest. You know, we all want it yesterday. You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this on the drive up this morning. I said, you know, we all, you know, we like all the conveniences of life, right? We like all of these little toys that we have. We enjoy going somewhere to get food. It's like we sit down, we say, okay, serve me. And I've been waiting 15 minutes. Where's my food? And you get upset because it took a half an hour. Right? You want the fruit, you want it now. And we've become so instant that we want everything now. But somebody behind the scenes had to do what? Years of development and procedures and all of that. Somebody was down in the trenches creating something over time so that you could enjoy the fruit. right? So just, if you want fruit in your life, you want something, I'm sorry, but some things are just going to take some time. They're just going to take some time, and you're going to have to do what? Stick with it. What does it say the good ground is? Good ground is an honest heart, a good and honest heart, who seizes the word, keeps it, right, and then does what? With patience, bears fruit. And that's it. So don't despair because you haven't measured up. You know, a lot of times we look at people and say, I could never be like them. Well, we're not trying to be like them, but if there's some quality in their life that you admire, maybe they've spent a life of nurturing the seed to produce that harvest. You know, everybody wants to be an Olympic athlete. They just don't want to put the time in. They want the glory. Hey, I'm off doing the 15 feet pole jump and all of this stuff, and I'm going to be, you know, just strutting down. I'm going to stand on the winner's platform, but you didn't put in the time. You weren't patient in the years and years and years of development. And it's the same process. It's investment, watering, and watering, and watering, and you'll produce a harvest, a spiritual harvest. Amen. So don't discourage. You know, you've got to just determine that I'm going to get everything that God wants me to have. If he wants me to be blessed, then I'm going to be that. And if I miss it along the way, and I stumble, get off, get up, ask him for forgiveness, and keep going. Pursue the things that God shed his blood for so that we could be what? Blessed and prosperous. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.